Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
We're just going to take a moment and honour the Lord in this place. Whenever I get to stand in these places, like Pastor Cherie said, these platforms, I always want to begin by turning our heart's affection to the Lord, because that's who we're here to gather around today. So would you close your eyes? Lord, we just acknowledge you right now. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, as we open the word today, God, would you come, Holy Spirit, and illuminate your scriptures before us? Would you transform our lives, God? May we leave today walking out of this room different than the way that we walked in, because we met with you. And so, Father, right now, we open up our hearts before you and we say, have your way. We love you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can go ahead and take your seat. Awesome. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Emily, and I've been here in Melbourne for about a year now, just over a year, and I've actually come from the lovely land of Perth. And so while I'm gutted that Pastor Thomas and Kelsey are leaving, I'm also so excited because I know the kingdom impact that is going to happen in my hometown. And so I'm super excited to see them go, and I just can't wait to see all that God is going to use them for, because he's not going to let lives like that just sit and do nothing. They are going to be used for great kingdom exploits. And so I am excited, but I do just want to clarify something for you tonight. I am from Perth. I am Australian through and through. But sometimes what can happen is maybe like once a month at minimum, I get asked, are you a Kiwi? Are you from New Zealand? Matt Clayton's done it. He knows it. And I just thought I would just briefly explain that at the start of the service, so you're not wondering the entire time, where is this girl from? Well, she is in fact from Perth, but what I put it down to, okay? When I was 19, I moved to America. I went to ministry school in California, and then spent a few years after that in Texas working as a youth pastor. And so 5 years total, I was there. And when you live somewhere for a long time, you pick up the accent. And so there is parts of me that comes out American. And anyway, when I moved home in 2019, just before, trigger warning, COVID, I thankfully was in Perth and got to spend that season there. But right as I moved home, I actually got connected with someone who became one of my dearest friends, who happens to be a Kiwi. And she has a very thick Kiwi accent. And so my accent was in a vulnerable place and it just absorbed it. And there are words that come out, especially when I get passionate, and sometimes I sound like a Kiwi. And it didn't help that she was actually in town this week, so it's really fresh. So just wanted to put that out there as a bit of a disclaimer. My team back home in Perth at the church I was a part of, anytime I would preach or lead, they would always be like, who are we going to get today? Is it going to be American M, Kiwi M, or really Aussie M? And it's a whole spectrum. So anyway, just thought I'd clear that up. That is where I'm from, and I'm excited for all that God's doing on the West Coast, but I'm even more excited for what God is doing here in Victoria, because God is on the move here, and that's why I'm here in this state. Here, willing, able, and a vessel for the Lord to use in this space. And so I'm excited tonight. We have been in this series called The Spirit-Led Life. The first couple of weeks, we were talking about how the Spirit empowers us to have an upward call to the Lord, to connect with the Lord, and how that is from where everything comes. And then we've stepped into this part of the series where we're looking at how the Holy Spirit leads us and transforms us inwardly. And we had an incredible message last week from Pastor Amy. If you have not listened to it, you need to go and listen to it. I wasn't here last Sunday night, but I was listening to it in my kitchen this week while I was baking banana bread. And I was shouting her down in my kitchen because there was so much gold in that message. And so I want to encourage you, go back and listen to it. Don't miss what God has been doing in this series. All right, tonight we are going to be looking at Galatians 5. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 5. what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at a bit of context that Paul was speaking to in the churches of Galatia, and then we're going to work our way through particular sections of the passage, starting in verse 13, or going all the way through to verse 26. And we're going to work through each of those sections of the passage, and we're going to look at what just some nuggets from each of them, and then we're going to respond to the word of God, and we're going to allow him to do a work in our heart. And so that is the direction we are going tonight. Alrighty. Guys, I just have to be honest, I love the book of Galatians. Galatians is beautiful. About this time last year in one of my classes, I'm finishing up my Bachelor of Theology, and I did a class on Galatians and Romans, and there is so much gold in this text. And we're only going to cover a really tiny part of it tonight. But I want to encourage you, if you have a chance to actually like really sit in it, go through the whole book, because there is something beautiful that Paul does when he links all of these things together. And we're going to touch on it really briefly. All right, let's look at context, because context is really important. This was written to a different people in a different time. And what we are getting here is like when you're hearing somebody on one side of the phone. Okay, what we are hearing is we're hearing Paul on the phone to the Galatians, but all we can hear is what Paul's saying. We can't hear what happened on the other side of the phone that set the context for why he's responding. Okay, so that's why it's really important to take a second and actually look at the context of what was going on then and what did some of that stuff actually mean. So let's have a look at it. So as the message of the gospel moved beyond Israel out into the surrounding regions, now Gentiles were becoming believers. They were becoming Christians, and they were learning what did it mean to actually live out their faith within their particular context, which is often pagan and totally different to the Jewish context. So naturally, there began to be some conflicts between cultures, between the Jews and the Gentiles, which sparked major debates about what did it actually mean and look like to be a part of the people of God. And what happened was that there was a particular group of people, of Jewish believers, that were moving around, and often they were called, they nicknamed the Judaizers, and they would travel around and they would tell people that they came through Galatia and they were teaching converts that they actually had to adopt the law. They had to do particular things, and this, especially in this passage, one of the main topics that's coming up is actually circumcision, and uphold the law in order to fully take on the ethnic identity of the people of God. And they also, one of the other things that they were arguing was that in this newfound freedom that we have, there needs to be a moral guideline, and that was the law, because that is essentially what the Jews were raised with as their law. That was their moral guideline. And so they started to actually say that Paul, he didn't give you the full gospel. He didn't give you the fullness of what you should actually be walking in. And so they started to come against what he was saying. And so then within Galatia, there were certain groups starting to form. There was factions based on who believed what. There was quarrelling at major levels going on. The circumcised people were starting to separate from the uncircumcised people. And the false accusations were coming against Paul. But the thing is, they did not need to become Jews in order to become fully members of the end time people of God destined for salvation. And Paul was heartbroken and angry at what the Galatians, of what was happening in the churches of Galatia. And his response in his letter, we can see, is directly to that situation. So the letter is structured in such a way that it opens by refuting the false teaching, then defending his authenticity and his authority as an apostle, and then also the authenticity of the gospel. Paul then spends the middle section of the letter arguing against the position of the Judaizers by reminding them that from the time of Abraham, the focus of the promise was to do with faith and not works. He then challenges them by asking, after beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Referring to the fact that the Spirit is the one who saved them through what Jesus did, and now they're trying to carry it out by the law. They're trying to maintain that by the law. How does that work? That's totally against it. And so then I go, sorry, one second. He continues then on to show that the law was only to play a temporary role until the appointed time at which Christ came, who fulfilled the law. Then through Christ's fulfillment, they can now live out the fulfillment I'm sorry, my computer is just doing some strange things. I'm not tech savvy and I haven't really figured out a great way to preach yet in terms of like adding all of these things and getting one of those like little fancy iPads. You know that preachers have? It makes it a lot smoother. We'll get there one day. First, I need to replace my phone. Okay, let's start that again. Okay. All right. So basically, Paul answers that question by showing them that they already have what they need to live a moral life through the Holy Spirit. When they live a Spirit-led life, they have the ability to overcome the flesh and fulfill the law because it was the Spirit who enables them to live in love in community with one another. And so that's the section of the text, that final part of the section of the text is where Paul is saying, hey, this is actually what it looks like. You have the Spirit and this is how you walk by the Spirit in order to not be overcome by the flesh. Because when you walk by the law, you cancel out what has happened. So we're going to be situated in Galatians 5, starting in verse 13. We're going to read through the text and then we're going to break it down. So if you're ready to follow along, let's do it. All right, so Galatians 5, verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. Okay. The first section we're going to look at is verse 13 to 15. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, for you will be destroyed by each other. It's so easy to think and see that freedom is such a wonderful thing. But what we can also see is that freedom can be twisted and that there can be those that abuse freedom and take it as a license to do whatever they want. This is recognized here in this time, which is why the Judaizers were like, you need something to keep you in line. You need something to keep you in check. And what Paul is saying is he's like, hey, don't let your freedom be an excuse to indulge the flesh. See, some of Paul's opponents likely implied that his lack of providing the law to the Galatians was essentially giving them the license to do what they wanted. But as we see in verse 13, Paul warns against using this freedom to indulge the flesh, to exploit the flesh. And he introduces a bit of a paradox by saying that they're actually to use their freedom to serve in love. You see, Paul actually opens the section of this letter with a thesis statement in verse 5, verse 1, which says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." if they are not meant to become slaves again, why must they serve? You see, within that culture and time, slaves were a normal part of that world. It was a normal form of employment. But there were also instances within that culture, and particularly within like the Roman culture, where you could actually serve someone voluntarily, but it was often someone who had a high status or a high power. And so people would serve out of devotion and voluntarily give of their time to honour someone. And what Paul does is he's highlighting and contrasting the difference between one who serves out of compulsion and one who serves from a place of passion. See, remember, what did Jesus say that his disciples would be known by? They would be known for their love for one another. You see, there is a call here to be motivated, not out of duty to the flesh, but out of devotion for God and others. You see, this paradox that Paul articulates, he articulates this really well in Romans 6. If you ever want to dive into that, please do, because it will change your life. But he talks about how we're no longer, sin is no longer our master. We are not a slave to that, but rather we are slaves of righteousness. See, there is a new identity that flips when we receive Christ and we become slaves of righteousness and dead to the things of the world. And so this is part of that. Our freedom is not unto ourselves, but we are free in order to be able to walk in obedience to God. In verse 15, we see the antithesis to verse 13, where Paul is indicating what happens when we indulge the flesh and not walk humbly in love towards one another, potentially echoing the state of the church in Galatia. See, he uses beastly language of biting and devouring, alluding to animals who are led by desire and from uncontrolled compulsion. That's what he's comparing them to there. When you don't walk by the Spirit, this is what's going to happen. And he's reflecting the state of the church in Galatia. He's like, you are not walking by the Spirit. This is what happens when you indulge the flesh. Okay? So, what is Paul's solution to this? Verse 16. Let's have a look. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary, They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I'm gonna go ahead and invite Alicia up. See, one of the things, she's going to help me with a little bit of a demonstration. Okay, so I love Scripture, and all throughout Scripture, metaphor is consistently used to help our finite brains grasp concepts that are beyond us. And all throughout Scripture, we see the concept of walking used to depict the way of life and how we conduct ourselves, and often in relation to God. Now, I'm going to use an illustration that may seem a bit elementary, but if it's used in the word, it means that there is actually something for us to grasp from it. So, Alicia is going to come up here with me. Come up onto this big step. All right. Now, Alicia is one of my best friends, and I'm very grateful for her, as I know many people in this room are. So, for us to be walking together, let's do it hands-free. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So, we are going to walk together. So, let's walk, Alicia. For us to be walking together, it actually takes an awareness of where Alicia is and her awareness of me, okay? It requires us to both be aware of each other to stay in step, which is what we've heard in Scripture, hasn't it? Okay? But then what can happen is often we might start walking with, let's pretend she's this Holy Spirit now, okay? Which she has a lot of that in her. All right, we're gonna walk, but I, I might get distracted. I might take my eyes off of the Holy Spirit. I can somehow end up out of here. Maybe what happened was I was looking around. Maybe there was something that caught my eye. Maybe I started with the Holy Spirit and started to walk out in my own strength because I know what the Lord likes. I know He loves it when I serve like crazy. I know He loves all of these different things. And sometimes I start to do things that He's not doing. and I'm out of step doing things in the flesh, starting to do and try and finish what the Spirit started in me. Now, we are in step, okay? Now, the Spirit and the flesh are in conflict. So now, if I'm staying in step with the Holy Spirit, when things of the flesh start to come up, I start to, oh, yep, okay, yep, all right, Lord, yep, mm-hmm. Oh, ooh, ooh, yep, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, okay, nope, you're right, all right. They're in conflict. When you are staying in step with the Spirit, you will not be able to go off into the and fulfill the desires of the flesh. Can we thank Alicia, everyone? She's amazing. They're in conflict with one another, which is why we need to stay in step. Again, elementary example. But you see, walking with God is His intent for relationship with humanity. He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. Sin separated us and made us unholy to be in His presence. But because of what Christ did on the cross, we have been restored into God's presence and now have the ability through the Holy Spirit to walk with Him again. It is the fulfillment of what was prophesied about God's redemption of Israel and His people. Ezekiel 36, verse 26 to 27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. That flesh there is referring to like life in your heart, like the actual fleshy bit of the heart, whereas the flesh that's used in the New Testament, usually by Paul, is regarding your sin nature. Just a slight differentiation there. Okay. Verse 27, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. See, it is a spirit in us that enables us to follow God's commands and live in such a way that fulfills the law. But it requires an awareness and an obedience to stay in step. So Paul moves on to get a bit more specific about the outcomes of acting in the flesh versus walking in the Spirit. And we're going to breeze through these. So lock in and we're going to roll. All right. Verse 19. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live this way will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're not going to spend a lot of time unpacking these, as you probably could, but what's really important to highlight here is that this is not an exhaustive list of acts of the flesh. It is not exhaustive, it is not complete. There are other things you can find in the scripture, but remember, he's speaking to a particular people at a particular time to a particular situation. Okay, these acts though, what's really fascinating about it is they actually fall into a few different categories. Firstly, there's sexual acts of immorality that happen in relation to self. Then they're followed by idolatry and witchcraft, which are acts of sin in relation to God directly. And then the brunt of what follows is actually dealing with regards to human relationships. Again, placing the emphasis on the fact that they are relating to each other in the church of Galatia from a place that is apart from the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And these things are manifesting then, and so therefore he's having to articulate them. So he then moves on to describe the fruit of the Spirit. All right, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Now, just as he described the acts of the flesh, this list of fruit is not complete or exhaustive in any way. I mean, look, hope's missing from the thing. And the Holy Spirit brings hope. So there's lots of things. Again, this is talking to a particular passage. It is to a particular people. And again, it is speaking to the Galatian church and how the Spirit will be evident amongst them as they live in community, serving one another humbly in love. And this passage, what's really cool is when you actually dive back and look at scripture, you can see that this is particularly talking about conflict that's happening in the church of Galatia, because this passage is sandwiched between verse 13 and verse 26, which ties it all back to your relationships with one another. Okay, so scripture is beautiful, but we can't take one thing out and look at it and be like, yeah, this is cool. And hopefully that just blew your mind as to that's where the fruits of the Spirit is situated, because it did for me. Okay, now, something I want to highlight, a key to bearing fruit is actually in verse 24. Okay, so verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Because we have been crucified with Christ, we have died to ourselves and our desires. And I want to suggest that the key to remaining in that place where we are dead to our desires is actually having an awareness to recognize what is happening within us and what desires and passions and thoughts, what desires and passions are starting to shape our thoughts, feelings, and actions. Now, a small story within my life that I feel like illustrates this point quite well is, first of all, who here is a Coles person? Put your hand up. You know how we all have allegiance to different like supermarkets? All right, I see a few Coles hands. Okay, who here is a Woolies person? Yeah, there's my people. There's my people. Okay, now it'll make sense in a second. So I personally am a Woolies gal. I work for BW, I just like Woolies, it feels better personally. But I am not super familiar with Coles. A couple years ago, I was house sitting for someone in this area where I just wasn't really super familiar and there wasn't really a Woolies. The closest thing was a Coles. So I was like, okay, it's fine. I'll go to Coles. I'll do my grocery shopping, whatever. Anyway, so one thing I didn't realize Coles has was like the little pick and mix section where you can like scoop and weigh like kind of different things. Anyway, so I was walking through, I was like, this is so cool. Like, and there was, at the time, there was some dairy-free chocolate. So fun fact about me, I'm gluten and dairy-free. So anyone else in the room who has intolerances know what that means. So I saw these different things and they had some like ones that I wanted to try that I knew were safe for me. And then I saw they had these dark chocolate salted caramels. And I was like, ooh, I mean, the amount of butter and things in there, ooh. But I was like, these look so nice. I was like, oh, look, we'll just get one or two, you know. Anyway, got one or two because you know how it goes. Sometimes we've got to risk it. It's worth it. So I got one or two and then from there, try them and it was delicious. I mean, I was like, wow, this is so nice, worth the risk, you know. I was by myself for a few days. It didn't matter. Okay, then maybe like a couple weeks later, I'm back home and I'm at the gym one day working out. And I'm doing my exercises and all of a sudden what goes into my head is, oh, those, because, you know, after a workout, you deserve a little sweet treat, right? Am I right? So I was there and I was like thinking, I was like, oh, the salted caramels. Oh my gosh, I wonder, I could get a salted caramel. I was like, oh, nah, it's all right. I'm not near Coles or anything, you know. And I'm doing my workout and I just, oh man, it would just be so nice. Like they were so yum. And I was really surprised at the quality. I mean, they weren't great, but like, you know, for a little sweet treat, they were kind of nice. Like, and you know, you can just get one. You don't have to get 10. And so I then was like, yeah. And I kept working out, got to the end of my workout. And cause I was like, oh, let's just see how close Coles is from here. And I was like, oh, okay. It's only 10 minutes away. Easy. So I was like, all right, in the car, off I go. And before I know it, I'm at Coles and I've added about 20 to 30 minutes to my journey home because I've gone out of my way to go and get these salted caramels. And now what all of this started with was a thought that I dwelt on, a desire that I had to indulge myself. And that desire in the moment can gratify a craving, can be nice in a moment, but for someone who is dairy free, that could mean anything for the following few days. And I don't need to elaborate. So, as you can see, it all starts with a thought and capturing that desire. James 1, verse 14 to 15. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Desire is the birthplace of sin. Therefore, we must have an awareness to catch desire and not to dwell on it and allow it to form into sin. We must submit that desire before the Lord, allow Him to crucify it with Christ, and allow its power to die as we yield to Him. While my story was a silly illustration, insert your situation. You know, maybe one time you're feeling super disconnected and you're feeling a bit lonely, and out of a desire for connection, you reach out to someone you shouldn't. Insert your situation. Maybe somebody's offended you, hurt you, disappointed you. You let it dwell and fester, and rather than bringing it to the cross and allowing the Lord to deal with it, it manifests in your life. And you begin to do things causing factions, disunity, because of what somebody else has done for you. Hello, Galatia? Like, insert your situation. You already know. One that I'm gonna touch on this one. Okay, maybe you are waiting for an answered prayer. Maybe you're seeing people around you get the spouse, get into a relationship. Maybe someone's having a baby that you're believing for. Maybe someone's getting a house, getting a job, you name it, whatever it is that you desire. And what's happened inside of you is somewhere along the way where you had a good desire from the Lord, you've begun to delight in the desire rather than delighting in the one who will give you the desires of your heart. And I see that in the church all the time, and our desires become disordered. And we start to do things in our own strength and finish what the Lord has started by the Spirit. So we have to come back. Your desires become disordered and destructive when you become disconnected. When we walk by the Spirit, we are reminded that I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We are no longer slaves to the impulses or the power that these things try to have over us. I'm not going to go into it because we don't have time, but Romans 6, read it. It's a great tag onto all of this, okay? I am just quickly going to hit one or two things though. One of the keys, as you have started to probably pick up, is where we think. How we think. We will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. But one of the things that, okay, I'm going to read that passage. All right. I'm going to take some liberty, Pastor Thomas. Okay. Romans 12, 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay. When we come to God, we are living this life out. But the thing is, a living sacrifice is still alive, which means there is an opportunity to crawl off the altar. And that's why we have to come back and die to ourselves and offer the Lord our entire being. Okay? We have to stay on that place. And what does the Lord do? He renews our mind. He brings us to Scripture because He is the one who will lead us to all truth. He is our helper, our comforter. He is the one who will lead us and guide us and show us what to think. And our desires will start to shape and change and become the things that He desires. Romans 8 is a really other good passage there. I encourage you to read it because it links in really well. So what is required of you? You are responsible to sow and grow. You are required to stay connected to God and to live and sow accordingly. Galatians 6 ties in the principle of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6, verse 7 to 9. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for in proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The choices we make shape our lives. Every day we have an opportunity to sow into the flesh or into the spirit. Every day we either remain on the altar or we crawl off of it. What's key to remember about the principle of sowing and reaping is that there is actually a waiting period between sowing and a reaping. We can't, what can happen is we will sow in the flesh and it might feel good to start with, but destruction will come. The opposite of that is sowing in the spirit. And that though can sometimes be a bit discouraging. And I want to speak to anyone in the room that is discouraged tonight. Because sometimes in our culture, we're so used to immediate gratification. We're in a microwave culture. And what that means is that we'll go to God, we'll have a really awesome secret time with the Lord, and it's going to be great, and we expect breakthrough in a day. Okay, cool, we spend a couple days, and we expect to see breakthrough, and it doesn't happen. The thing is, it takes time for things to grow. Yes, God can do it in an instant, that is how good He is, I've seen it happen, but at the same time, there is a deeper thing within you that He's wanting to grow. And that takes time, and it takes consistently sowing into the Spirit. And so I want to encourage you to keep sowing, keep showing up, and you will keep growing. I'm going to invite the team to come up, and we're going to get ready to transition and respond to the Lord. We can become discouraged in the meantime. But if we keep our eyes on Him, we keep our gaze on Him, He will encourage us. You see, friends, fruit doesn't grow overnight. It takes time. What does a tree do to grow its fruit? It remains connected. See, an apple tree, it doesn't try to make its fruit happen. It doesn't try and go, apple, 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 maybe an apple today, I don't know. No, what it does is it keeps its roots connected to the ground where its source of life comes and flows through it. It receives the nutrients. And maybe if it's in like a little farm or something, there's a farmer or a gardener that comes and tends to it and cultivates the environment for it to thrive. But when it remains connected to the life source, it does what it was made to do, and it produces the fruit that is designed to produce. Friends, when we stay connected to the Lord, we will do what we were made to do. We will bear the image and likeness of Christ. But what is required of us is that we stay connected. John 15. I'm going to land us here in this passage because this is what this series is about. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, So I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Apart from him, we cannot bear the fruits of the Spirit. Apart from him, we cannot overcome the things of the flesh. We have to stay connected and stay in that place of the reality of God's love. Why don't you stand? Close your eyes. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.